And let's continue in the book of James. So, as I mentioned, the book of Hebrews is next, which is right next to James in the Bible. But the book of James, you know, we've been going through a lot of passages that have kind of hit us pretty hard because James is a powerful, hard-hitting book. And that's okay. We need sometimes to really have it spelled out for us, so to speak. In this text today, and the text is going to be James chapter 4, we're in chapter 4, starting in verse 13. The text is going to be James 4, 13 to 17 today. Now, in the text, in the passage, James is teaching us about having the proper outlook in life, having the proper outlook in life, how to think about life, how to approach life, how to live it out, right? How to walk it out. In Judaism, there is a term, and the term is called halakha. I'm sure most of you have heard of the term. Halakha means Jewish law. It is Jewish law, or Jewish law or instructions. It's a system of rules and regulations that govern Judaism and has over the ages. And the focus of halakha is how to live out your life. It doesn't only deal with religious topics, though. Halakha, Jewish law, and all the different writings and things, they talk about every aspect of life, not only religious, but day-to-day things, all sorts of stuff, right? Practical lessons and spiritual lessons. The halakha is a collection of writings, and what happens is there's so many writings in Judaism that they've distilled it down over the years a few times. Maimonides did it once. He did like a little law code. It's kind of like the Cliff's Notes for Jewish writings, okay? Maimonides did it, and then some other people did it, and then this guy Joseph Kara did it in the 16th century, and it's called, the book he put together is called the Shulchan Aruch. And that's kind of like, it's like two short volumes I have in my office, and it distills down all of the halakha, all the law codes, all the things. Examples are how to tie your tzitzit. I mean, we have knots, right? There's a certain series of knots. You can't just do it willy-nilly, right? There's a certain thing when we put on a tallit. It has the knots, and it has the different types of things. It explains all that. Well, halakha is a Hebrew word, and when you translate the word into English, it translates as the way to walk, okay? Or it also translates into English as the way to behave. The Hebrew word, the root word, is behave. So as believers, we need to know the way to behave, right? We need to know the way to walk every day, not just in religious matters. I mean, you've met believers that can quote this, right? But they don't live it, and they don't behave very well. So we need to know, and I believe James is really going through this, being, of course, led by the Ruach, by the Spirit of the Lord. He's teaching us the way to walk through this life. We need to know when things come up in our lives, the way to walk. We need to know when things go off the reservation, so to speak, in our life. We need to know the way to behave, because there's a good way to behave and not so good way to behave. So as we follow after Yeshua, we need to learn these behaviors or how to live. And James talks about this in the text today. And these could be good things in our life that happen and bad things that can unfortunately happen in our lives. We do this, we learn the way to walk, we learn the way to behave, obviously, by reading our Bibles, by understanding the words. We're going to be doing this today, by listening and being led by the Spirit of God, the Ruach HaKodesh. And as we do these things, James gives us a couple of practical ways to walk it out, that we need to allow God to lead our lives and not us leading our lives. We think we know the way to walk, right? We think we know the way to behave, and we try to teach other people the way we think we should behave. But James talks to us about the way God tells us to behave and how God should lead our lives in that behavior, how we should die to ourselves and our way of thinking about the way to walk and get on God's pathway, which is often a narrow road, right? And walk and do good before our God. So let's begin today, James 4, 13 and 14. And he says this, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit." Verse 14, "Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. So throughout history, man has learned, we have learned, men and women, we have learned how to physically go out there in the world and do things, right? How to make a living, how to, you know, if you were in the Boy Scouts, how to tie knots, if you're, you know, how to cook, how to clean, how to do all of these things in life. The world has taught us these things, and it used to be in the old days you were an apprentice to someone, right? It was your father, or it was someone else in the town or the village that would teach you these things. That was the way to walk practically, the day-to-day life. You had to get out there, and you had to make a living, and you had to make money, and you had to put food on the table and all this stuff. Today, it might be, you know, you got to go get an education, you got to go to college or have a trade or whatever. We're taught skills, we're taught education, we're taught how to walk in this life. And that is a good thing. That's not what James is talking about here. He's not saying, no, you can't do anything the world says to do. We've got to do it just biblically, everything biblically. Well, God has provided this system over the ages where people can learn from each other and go out there in the world and make their way. That's a good thing. James isn't saying here that we shouldn't go out and live our lives and be taught and trained. You know, look, I was taught in universities by secular professors that had no interest in God at all, okay? But I still got an education so I could go out and make a living. That's one thing. But what we're talking about is a spiritual way to walk. What we're talking about is learning from God, learning from people like James, you know, like other people, that we can truly walk it out and we could do it God's way and not our way. Turn to Psalm 144, verses 3 and 4. Psalm 144, 3 says this, O Lord, what is man that you regard him, or the son of man that you think of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Now, doesn't that sound just like the James verse we just read, or the verses we just read? So Scripture is, once again, corroborating Scripture. And David, who wrote the psalm, I believe, here in Psalm 144, is corroborating what James is saying. It's linked, okay? Because it's obviously the Spirit of God that's leading both of those people to write those words down. James says our lives are like a mist or a vapor. The psalmist says we are but a breath and a passing shadow. It's not meant to put us down. It's not to make us feel small or like we don't count. But it's to get us to see that it's not about us and it's about God. Turn with me to the book of Job 33, verse 4. We need to remember that it is God who gives us breath in the first place so we can go out there and make a living. Job 33, verse 4. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. The only reason you and I are breathing right now is because God allowed it, and because God created us. And that is just the facts. And we read it, it's borne out in Scripture, and it's borne out throughout history. We're only here because God Almighty has allowed it to be, and He's given us breath and life. Now, that should change our outlook on life, about how to behave and how to act. We should try to figure out, hey, this entity, this person, God, who gave us life, how does He want us to live it if He gave it to us? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Now, remember, I mentioned Hebrews. We're going to start the book of Hebrews. It's a little preview. What an exceptional book. We are going to really learn a lot. I know many of you have read Hebrews many times, read commentaries on Hebrews. It's a great book. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for He has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? This is the perspective we need to have. We go through life chasing after things. We go through life chasing after money or fame or attention or whatever it is. But God says we should chase after Him because He's going to teach, He gives us breath and life, and He's going to teach us the way to walk, the way to behave in life. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. More similar scriptures on this. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first His kingdom, the kingdom of God, and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This is the perspective. God has given us everything we have, and we should walk after him. He should teach us the way to walk after him. The way to walk after God is not to be anxious about all of these things. We can easily get into a spirit of fear about things in life. Have you ever woken up and had some anxiety about the day? Have you ever woken up and had some anxiety about your life? It happens, and it can come in at really odd times. Now, some people they struggle with anxiety. Some people have intermittent anxiety, and it happens. But God tells us, don't be anxious. Listen, I gave you breath. Don't chase after all these things and stress yourself out about it. Trust in me. Trust in my righteousness. Get with me and understand who I am, and all these things will be added to you. Or said another way, you'll learn the way to walk. You'll learn the way to behave. I'll walk you through it. It's about perspective. The world goes out and says, look at all that I can do. Look at the work of my hands. Look at what I have because I did it. And it's because I worked hard. You know, I behave this way. The mature follower of Yeshua says, look at all that the Lord has given me and all that the Lord is doing through me. It's a difference. Now let's go back to James chapter 4, verse 15. So James gives us the what not to do, how not to behave, how not to think about life. And now he tells us the right way to think and behave, the right way to walk. James 4:15, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. You know, something practically I like to do when I pray and when I pray with people and I pray with, you know, for myself is, of course, there's times when I'm pouring out my heart to God and I'm asking God, please answer this prayer. Please do this. Please do that. I mean, we're told to beseech God, right? To come before him with our supplications. And it's built into the liturgy. It's built into what we do. But after that, I always usually get to the point where I say, okay, God, I want all this and I want all that. And it's coming from a right place, God. And I really want this and I really want that. And I really need this healing for this person. And then I say, but Lord, your will be done. It's got to be God's will at the end. So it's all in God's hands because he is sovereign, or sovereign, however you pronounce that name, that word. You know, when we say that it's all in God's hands, that can be a little scary, especially for some of us that like to control things. Anybody like to control things? Don't raise your hand. We all should probably raise our hand. We want to control things in our life. We want everything to go according to plan. That means our plan when we say that. When we want to control things, it's not good because we're crowding out God and not allowing him to take the wheel and control things. We grab the wheel and we want to control it and we want to turn it the way that we want. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15:5. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, is writing to the Corinthian people here and their congregation. And he's talking to them about the plans that he has. And I want you to listen to how he phrases this and how he's thinking about his life and his plans. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 5. I will visit you after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia. And perhaps I'll stay with you or even spend the winter so that you may help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now just in passing. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. So, you know, we have to plan a little bit of our lives. We can't just, the opposite of that is just saying, okay, Lord, just direct my life. I'm just going to sit back here and wait for you to breathe on me and just push me, you know. We got to go out there. We've talked about this before, how in Judaism, it's a culture of action. Even the language of Judaism, there's no verb to be. It's action, it's go, it's moving. The Greek culture is to be or not to be, to contemplate, you know, life. But the Hebrew way of doing it, the Middle Eastern way of doing it, God's way of doing it is to get out there and move. But when you get out there and move, you say, okay, God, but if I'm going in the wrong direction, if the Lord wills it, move over here, move over here. This is how we should be directing our life. That's how Shaul, the Apostle Paul, was directing his life. He knew that every breath was from God, every day was from the Lord, and God was in charge of it all. So what we need to do is to surrender our plans. We can put the plans out there, but we need to surrender to his leading. He might take the plans and tweak them a little bit, and that's okay. We need to allow him to lead our lives, and that's point number one. Allow God to lead your life. Don't try to go out there and lead it yourself. God should be the final say. Now let's turn back to the text, James 4:16. As it is, he continues on about us, as it is, you boast in your arrogance, all such boasting is evil. Okay, so he's talking about this in the letter, and he starts using this terminology, right? He says three things. He says, you're boasting, and he links that to arrogance, and he links that to evil. So those are all in the context of bad. Don't do them, right? Boasting, arrogance, evil. Now, this can apply to any area of our life. Remember, James here is talking about going out, saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to accomplish this. Key phrase is I in there. Key word is I in there. Whatever it is, this is boasting. And the Lord wants us to see that he's in control, not us. That he is in the driver's seat and we're the passengers. Proverbs 27, verse 1. Of course, the scriptures tell us a lot about boasting and arrogance, and that's not a good thing. Do not boast about tomorrow, Proverbs 27, 1. For you do not know what a day may bring. And there's other scriptures. You know, there's parables in the New Testament where it talks about how the foolish man builds up all of these storehouses and builds up all of these things and collects all these things in his life, and then you could die. You could die the next day. We do not know how many days we have on this planet. The Lord does. So we plan, but God has other plans if we've surrendered our life to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 28. Boasting is about putting yourself above others and even above God. But there is one type of boasting that is a good type of boasting. We're going to talk about that now. 1 Corinthians 1:28. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Messiah Yeshua, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. So the good boasting is when we boast about God and what he's done in our life, when we boast about God and his goodness rather than our goodness. Yeshua is or should be our righteousness, not us. Yeshua should be our wisdom, not us. Yeshua should be our sanctification and redemption, not us. How many people out there in the world are going around and they are their own sanctification and redemption? They've saved themselves. They've done all this. God, Yeshua, is our sanctification and redemption. Point number two, we need to die to self and flesh. This gets in the way of us trying to walk it all out. This gets in the way of our halakha, our way to walk in this life. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 9, verse 23. You know, our flesh, you're in my flesh, even if we've been a believer for many, many years, our flesh wants to lead. I know this is not this is not like a mystery to some people, but you know, we always think, oh, I'm doing okay in the Lord, and then all of a sudden the flesh comes right back in. The flesh wants to lead. The flesh wants to take over. Our flesh constantly wants to take the credit instead of giving the credit to God. Luke 9, 23. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, this is Yeshua, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? There's a lot of wisdom in these words. And you may think, well, I'm so mature as a believer, and I've read this a million times, but sometimes we need to go back and read it again. Because it says, take up our cross or our execution stake or the tree daily. Okay, if we don't do it daily, we're going to forget. And we're going to start letting boasting creep in, letting self, letting flesh creep in. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. He doesn't mince words, does he? And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. The only way we're going to be able to walk it out, the halakha, the way to behave, the way to walk, is if we take off the old self, that is corrupted, that continues to want to rise up and lead, and to be renewed in our minds and put on the new self. We literally have to put on a new self in Messiah Yeshua. Now let's go back to James one more time. Last verse in the text, James 4:17. He ends with this. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Again, James is not mincing words here. This is how the passage ends. After James tells us that, or Yaakov tells us that God is in charge, we need to die to ourselves, we need to put on the new man. After he tells us all of this, he tells us, okay, now you know the right thing to do, and if you fail to do the right thing, that's sin. Okay? There's no getting out of it. You've heard the word, you've heard the instruction, you know the way to walk now. So now if you don't do what you know you should do, it is sin. And there's something called the sin of omission, right? Ever had this, done the sin of omission with people? You conveniently leave out things so that people come to a different conclusion. That is sin. That is the sin of omission. You know something, but you're not going to share it, or maybe you're going to share half of it. You know, a half-truth is really a lie, right? So it's the sin of omission that we have to be really careful about. You know something, but you fail to say it, or you fail to act. It is actually a more serious thing than the sin of being uninformed, right? The sin of being uninformed. So many times we go through life and we make bad choices. We act when we shouldn't, and you know, maybe we're a little lazy, got it. We have to remember that this is deeper and this is more spiritual than we think about when we're talking about all this. There is literally a spiritual battle going on. There's a spiritual battle going on in the dimensions here that we can't see. I mean, it's just, the scripture talks about that. And there is a spiritual battle going on inside of you and I at times. It's a battle between God on one side and the enemy on the other. The Lord wants us to walk in the right way. The Lord wants us to behave in the right way. And guess what? The enemy is fighting against that and wants to whisper to us, no, do it this way, which is our way, which is really his way. You see what I'm saying? We got to do it God's way. It's a spiritual battle. The enemy whispers things like this to us. Did God really say that? Do you really need to do that? Right? You've heard this before. This is not what he meant. Yeah, he said it, but he doesn't mean that, right? Do you recognize that type of talk? That's the talk that the enemy was whispering to Eve in the Garden of Eden. He was twisting it just enough to make it a lie. He was turning it just a little bit. He didn't totally say, no, that's totally wrong. Because if he would have said that, she would have just recognized it right away. But it was like, no, well, he kind of meant this. It's twisting it just a little bit. There's a battle going on. Turn to Romans chapter 7, verse 18. I quote this verse a lot because I think it does tell us about the battle that we face. So Shaul here, Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, is talking about the battle that even he faced. Now, he was really kind of the cream of the crop believer. He really had it together. He did a lot of things for God. He was very successful in the Lord. God led him and he moved. He had all that down. But even he struggled with this battle. Romans 7, 18. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. Got to die to self and flesh, remember? For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. So if when we have the desire to do what is right and we know what to do is right and we don't carry it out, that's sin, right? We got a problem here. We have a real problem with this. We need to follow through with it. And of course, that comes from listening and responding to the Holy Spirit and allowing God to lead you and resting on God's strength and not our own strength. All of that. We've talked about all of that a lot before. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 18. When we don't act and God's prompting us to act, it is sin. Because we know and we don't do. Okay, now, back in the Torah, in Deuteronomy, the children of Israel, God is talking to Israel, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people here. Okay, he's giving them the Torah. He's giving them his literal instructions about how to live, how to walk it out, the way to behave, the way to walk. Okay, and now they know and they're not uninformed, right? Deuteronomy 6:18, and you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may go well with you and that you may go in and take possession of the good land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. They knew what to do, and we know from our history, didn't do it all the time, and there's penalties for that. It's sin, and there's repercussions for that. Later on, as Israel was not following God and not following the Torah, he sent prophets to bring them back. He sent one prophet called the prophet Micah. Let's go to the book of Micah. And in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, Micah puts it very simply to Israel, wayward Israel. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. This is it in a nutshell. This is halakha in a nutshell. Point number three, walk and do good before God. Now, that sounds pretty intuitive, right? Oh, I can do that. That's easy. And sometimes it is. But sometimes it's not easy, and it's hard, and we need to ask God for the wisdom and the discernment. Sometimes we're like Shaul. We know what to do. We really, really, really have the desire to do it, and we just mess up. That's where the mercy of God comes in, but that's where God instructs us. That's where he picks us back up and walks with us and helps us in our walk in the way that we should walk. You know, we've been talking about chesed, loving kindness towards others. Part of walking and doing good before God is allowing him to change your opinion, change your heart, and change your attitude towards other people, even people you don't always agree with. We seem to think that when somebody is not behaving right, that we should just totally oppose them because it's wrong and sin is sin. Yes, that's true. But God knows that we screw up and we mess up and we sin and we sin and we sin, and yet he still has mercy and chesed to us. So when we have mercy and chesed to somebody, even though they're sinning or messing up or treating us badly, it doesn't mean we're condoning it. It just means we're showing the love and the mercy of God. He forgave us. We can forgive them. That's something we need to do as we do this halakha, this walking out. But the other thing is, this life is full of distractions. Every time we get on board with God and start on that narrow path, and okay, I got it, God. I got it, what James is saying. I'm walking down the path, and this is the way to walk. This is the way to behave. There's a distraction. Okay? There's a distraction, and then the enemy kind of very quickly veers us off. And you know, if you're walking on a road, if you go off just a little bit, what eventually happens over time? You're way over here. Just a little bit off the road. So the world is full of distractions, and we can easily get off that narrow road with God. We can easily get swept away by things. That's why we got to come. We have to remind ourselves in the Lord how to act, how to behave, how to treat other people, how to treat ourselves, and how to treat and be under the Lord together. We need to learn how to walk humbly with our God and how to walk this out. We need to learn that halakha in our lives. Let's pray. Lord, teach us your way, the way to behave, the way to walk. Lord, we know that there many times is nothing good that dwells in us. We know that even on our best days, we're like filthy rags, as Isaiah says. We know that even in our best times, our speech can hurt other people, Lord God. Or our actions can do the exact opposite of what we intended. Because, Lord, we are broken. And we do have sinful hearts and sinful minds. And sometimes many times we mess up. But, Lord, there is mercy with you. And we thank you, Lord God, that when we fail, when we mess up, when we get off the road, you just pick us right back up, Lord God, and you start up again, teaching us the way to walk, the way to behave. May we be transformed in our hearts and minds. May we be transformed in our actions, even today as we go out in this world that is dark and we show the light of Yeshua. We shine the light of Yeshua. Lord, as we do this, there's going to be darkness all around. There's going to be valleys that we're in. But Lord, teach us the way to walk. Help us to not have eyes that see physically, but eyes that see spiritually, the way to behave and the way to walk, which is the way of you. We thank you and we praise you. We give you all the praise, glory, and honor, God, in Yeshua's name. Amen.